Let's open our Bibles this evening to the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse number 3 as we still continue discussing the prayer of the Apostle Paul, as we discover that we can have joy through prayer. One of the sources of joy, so often overlooked, so often neglected, so often forgotten about, is that of prayer. And so let's begin reading there with verse number 3. Here we read, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet in me, as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Father, we thank you for your word and having recorded for us this prayer of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, there's so much we can learn from it. Father, just help us this evening to learn a few things. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been looking at these attitudes that the Apostle Paul practiced in prayer. And as he practiced these attitudes in prayer, we find that prayer then became a joy and a delight rather than a drudgery or something to just simply do out of habit or because one felt they had to. But Paul actually anticipated going to prayer and spending time with God. We've looked a couple of weeks ago at the idea that his attitude was thankful out of verse number 3. Then we saw last time that Paul's attitude in prayer was that it was constant, that it was proactive, it was selfless, it was joyful, and it was expectant. All right, so I want to move on tonight. We're in verse number 5 now. Those were all in verses 3 and 4. But as we move now into verse number 5, we find a seventh attitude that the Apostle Paul practiced in prayer. And as he practiced his attitude in prayer, we find that it brought him great joy. In verse number 5, he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And so the first thing we find here this evening as far as an attitude in the apostle's prayer life that brought him joy was that when he prayed, he was specific. When he prayed, he was specific. I think this is one of the main issues with prayer today, why prayer is so often neglected, is so often we neglect to be specific with God. God everywhere teaches us to be very specific when we come to him in prayer. If you have a need, God expects you to present that need to him. He doesn't expect you to pray in generalities. He doesn't expect you to pray generically, but he expects you to just simply say what's on your heart. Look, if you would, in the book of James, a very familiar verse there in chapter 4, verse number 2. I think this most certainly applies to praying specifically. Oftentimes we apply this to prayerlessness itself, but I think this applies just as appropriately to lacking or not being specific in our requests. In James chapter 4, verse number 2, we read this, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Do you realize that if we simply ask the Lord to bless our missionaries, we haven't really prayed for our missionaries? We've asked God to bless them, but God wants us to pray even more. There are specific things you can pray for each missionary. And a few years back, we put out a bookmark that tells us how to pray for our missionaries specifically. And there are several things mentioned here. First of all, pray for protection from spiritual and physical danger. We want to pray for our missionaries for provision, both spiritual, emotional, physical, and economic, and for laborers to be sent to the fields.
We're to pray specifically for the missionary, for God's providence, for God's guidance, preparation of hearts, open doors, and to stop or hinder the adversaries. We also, as we pray for our missionaries, should pray for their patience in order to wait upon God. We also, as we pray for our missionaries, should pray for power in preaching, praying, and ministering through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's just one aspect of our prayer life, that of praying for our missionaries. God wants us to pray more specifically than merely to say, Lord bless, and then fill in the blank. That's why on our prayer list, we take their own prayer requests out of the missionary letters and give you something for which you can pray for them. We need to be in prayer right now for Prasi Kakale. He will be meeting on June 8 in the embassy to try to get permission to come to the United States. And so we mentioned it on Wednesday night, and I believe I've probably mentioned it before. It's not as easy for him to come to the States as it is for us to go from the States to the Philippines. Most Filipinos are not allowed to travel to the United States. And so we need to be in prayer that God will give him the ability to come, and that these officials that he meets with will look favorably upon his application to travel to the States. But we need to pray specifically, and not just for our missionaries, but we need to pray specifically for one another. Now, there has to be a fine balance. And I know sometimes it's difficult on Wednesday nights when we have prayer requests. Sometimes our balance, we go a little bit beyond with the information we share than perhaps we ought to. And it almost becomes like sharing gossip, and we certainly don't want to go there. But sometimes we cut it too short, and we don't give the specifics that are needed to pray specifically. And so we've got to try to find that fine balance. We don't have to give a life story, but we want to give enough where we can pray specifically. And I understand that there are times when you don't want to share specifically, and that's fine. You know, just an unspoken request. There is absolutely nothing wrong with an unspoken request. And so we will pray that God will honor that request as well. But there are times when we can pray and offer a prayer request specifically. But when we go to our own prayer closet for our own needs and for those that we love and those we care about, this should be our practice. Specific prayer requests. If we don't pray specifically, and we talked about this previously, about and the idea of being thankful is being able to pay attention to what we pray, so that when God answers, we can then render him thankfulness. And when I was in the workplace, and we did a lot of quality training, one thing they always taught us is to chart what you're doing. If you can't chart it, you don't know if you're doing good or bad. You don't know if you're successful or unsuccessful. If we're praying, Lord, bless the missionaries, how do we even know if God ever answered that prayer? How would we define success or blessing them? We probably could define it, couldn't we? We would define blessing the missionaries having their needs met financially, having souls won to Christ, having a church planted and going successfully and being able to move on to a new area. And if that's how we define the term bless, why don't we just from the get-go pray for our missionaries in that regards? Pray specifically. The Apostle Paul prayed specifically here in verse number 3 when he said, it's verse number 4 and 5. I'm trying to read it again without my glasses on. It doesn't work. All right. In every prayer of mine, in verse 4, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. All right. Very specific request. And as we'll see when we finally get there, there are at least four requests the apostle makes, specific requests in this one prayer that he offers. God wants us to be specific, in order that when he answers that prayer, we can chart it, so to speak. We'll notice it, we'll see it, we'll recognize it, and then our hearts will be filled with gratitude and praise. Look over, if you would, to a very familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we have what oftentimes is called the Lord's Prayer, though it's actually the Lord's model prayer. as Jesus instructs his disciples how to pray. And I want you to notice something, and this tonight won't be a discourse on the Lord's Prayer, but we will go through it because, as I said, we do need to notice that Christ teaches us to pray specifically. We're going to begin in verse number 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. Here's the rebuke against praying in this fashion, saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. All right, we know that there are those out there today that pray in this fashion. We know that the Romish system teaches this prayer, type of prayer. There are other denominations that have prayer books, and you just open it up and you read what it is you want to say to God. Nothing coming from the heart, nothing coming from the individual personal need, but it's all written out, pre-planned for you. Very convenient, but also very unscriptural. Jesus here is rebuking these vain repetitions. And I'd like to suggest this evening that if we pray for our missionaries, we pray for them by name, we say, Lord bless the Snares, Lord bless the Seymours, Lord bless the Cross, Lord bless. Isn't that repetitious? It's saying the same thing, and yet it's simply substituting a different name. And I believe that's why we need to pray specifically. He rebukes vain repetition. But notice how he teaches us to pray in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, in other words, because we're not going to pray repetitiously, he says, this is how I want you to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Verse number 10, thy kingdom come. I think that's pretty specific. Praying for the Lord's return, that he would come to earth and set up his kingdom. He goes on in verse number 10 and says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Again, this is specific. He's praying that the will of God, as is done in heaven, 100% of the time, exactly as God wants it done, he's praying, now let that be the way it is here on earth. May your will always be done on earth, exactly how and when and where you would have it done. Now, I think that's pretty specific. He goes on in verse number 6 and says, give us this day our daily bread. I think that's pretty specific. Praise God, he gives us our daily bread, so much so that for the most part we don't feel a need to pray this way anymore because of the abundance we have in our country. It's not this way around the globe. And there are those, even this evening, that have not yet had anything to eat that must make this prayer before God and say, give us today our daily bread. And when God provides, their hearts will overflow with praise and thanksgiving. But it's specific. God, give me today what I need today. As he goes on in verse number 12, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here we have confession. And this perhaps is the most general request in the prayer. And yet there's a reason for its generality. And that's simply that. He can't include all the confession of sin that we would say because we all sin in different ways. Now, there are many sins that we would commit that is common to other people, but on a daily basis, it's going to change. And so as he's giving us a model of how to pray, what he's trying to tell us here is that we need to be in the practice of confession and seeking God's forgiveness. Whatever it is we've done, and I think if he would tell us, if he were here this evening to share with us the intent of this portion of the model prayer, he would tell us and insist upon specific confession. He wouldn't tell us it's all right just simply say, Lord, forgive me for the sins I've done today. He teaches us specific when it comes to confession. As you sin, confess that individual sin. Okay? And so as we see here in verse number 12 is more general in nature than the other requests. It's still the implication or what he intends, I believe, is very specific. Then in verse number 13, he says, and lead us not into temptation. That's very specific. He says, again, deliver us from evil. Again, that's very specific. He's not just saying, Lord, bless me today. But he's saying two things. He's saying to lead me not to temptation and also keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Specific. All right, he goes on and as he wraps it up, he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so that's an item of praise. But as Christ teaches us to pray in this model prayer, we find that he teaches us to pray very specifically, very specifically. And so as we go back to the book of Philippians and as we see the apostle and his prayer life, we see that he too prayed very specifically. Here in verse number 5, he says he makes request with joy for their fellowship in the gospel. And we'll get into what this entails at a later date. Down in verse number 9, he prays, in this I pray that your love may abound. Again, that's specific. He then goes on in verse number 10 and says, he prays that they may approve all things that are excellent. He prays that they may be sincere. He prays that they may be without offense. These are specific prayer requests that the Apostle Paul offers for these Philippian believers. And if we would go to the other prayer requests listed for us in the Pauline epistles, we'll find that they each and every one are very specific. If we chart through the book of Acts and chart the prayers of the apostles in the first century, we'll find also it's very specific. If we'll go back into the Gospels, we'll chart the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we'll find specific requests, time and time again, each and every time. If we're going to experience joy through prayer, we'll experience it only as we learn to pray specifically. If I start the next point, we'll get out late. Okay, trust me on this one. And so I don't want to get into the next one until next time. Practice this week praying specifically. Praying specifically. Sometimes it's the best teacher that leaves the least to be learned, so that what's learned is learned well. And I think this is important enough. I think it's a good lesson, and I hope you'll learn and practice it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things we can learn from your word that help us in our relationship with you. Father, we know we didn't spend a lot of time in your word tonight. But Father, let that never be mistaken for a lack of importance as to what was said. Father, help us to learn to apply the one principle shared this evening about being specific in our prayer life. Father, I think too often we have not because we ask not. Not because we didn't pray, but because we didn't ask specifically. Father, help us to put that into practice for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.